Verse 7, change of direction here. I want to deal with this fairly thoroughly because some years back, I remember in particular, there was kind of a little clatch of a group in our church that got something under their skin and had made decisions about this. It says there, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Now, let me give you another verse. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 23. And this small little group of folks kind of came to our church kind of at the same time they had been somewhat trained, I guess you'd call it training, in the idea that it's a sin to take a loan, to borrow on a house or to finance a car, that sort of thing. It's a sin. Now, don't get me wrong when I'm talking about this. If you have opportunity to live debt-free, brother, live debt-free. If you can build a house debt-free, live debt-free. We've bought cars for years now that were hand-me-downs from somebody else. We haven't made a car payment in, I don't know, 20 years now. So, I mean, if you can do that, by all means, do that. These folks were saying it's a sin to have a credit card. It's a sin to have a mortgage. Now, folks, I disagree. They use this verse. They say, see there, the rich ruleth over the poor. The borrower is servant to the lender. And 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse, I hope I didn't write that down wrong. 1 Corinthians 7, 23. Ye are bought with a price, be not ye servants of men. So, universal rule becomes we are not to be servants of men. And since the borrower is servant to the lender, when you go and take a mortgage at the bank, you become the servant of a man. You're subjugated. You've subjugated your Christianity, and you are living in sin. We had folks that at one point came to our church. This is when we were back in the other end of the building, before we really went into debt. And they wouldn't come to our church because there's a church not too far up the road from here that had paid off their property and weren't under the bondage of debt. We, on the other hand, had just bought that property, and we had a mortgage. And so, we weren't serving Christ. Now, I had a chance then to kind of exercise my, you know, what the Lord showed me some things. But look at the verse in 22:7. And I came to the conclusion that these guys were smoking funny grass. And again, I would emphasize to you that there's plainly a problem in our country where, you know, folks overborrow and you can get yourself in trouble so fast with credit cards, it's not even funny. All right? I don't agree with that, okay? I'm not suggesting you just go and borrow and borrow and spend and all that kind of stuff. But I will say that you cannot say, I believe, from the Scriptures, as they try to say from the Scriptures, that having a mortgage or purchasing a car on credit is sin, is wrong. Verse 7 again. The rich ruleth over the poor. The borrower is servant to the lender. Okay, let's just see here. Let's study borrowing for just a minute. Look in Romans chapter 13, verse 8. This doesn't really apply as much. This is something that they would throw in on top to make sure that you understood what a sinner you were if you had taken the mortgage at the bank. Romans 13:8. So, be ye not servants of men, 1 Corinthians 7, and Romans 13:8. Owe no man anything. Never mind that the context there has to do with verse 7, tribute, as well as honor, that is taxes as well as making sure you give respect to somebody who's due respect. Kids, your parents are due respect. Owe no man anything. If you make sure and render your parent to your parents respect. Right? Okay, in that respect. Now, let's go back to 22:7. The rich ruleth over the poor. The borrower is servant to the lender. Exodus 22. Let's see how opposed God is to borrowing. After all, the borrower is servant to the lender, and we are not to be, according to them, servants of men. Exodus 22. And go down to verse 14. I was just going to go through this tonight because I want you to know what sinners Todd and Heather were for closing on this house the other day. They just closed this house. Just want to make sure that they knew how far off track they really were. Oh, yeah. I got to check this guy's tithing records. Exodus 22:14. Now notice the borrower's servant to the lender, we're not to be servants of men. Alright, 22:14. If a man borrow aught of his neighbor and it be hurt or die, the owner thereof being not with it, he shall surely make it good. So, you borrow your neighbor's wheelbarrow and you take the wheelbarrow and it dies. Maybe I should have chosen something else. You owe the guy a wheelbarrow, right? It's borrowed. Plain, right? Is God against borrowing? Exodus 22. He didn't say that. He said, if you borrow it, you're subject to make up for it if it's lost or dies, right? Look in 2 Kings 4. 2 Kings 4. We just had this big hoorah with this group. There was one or two loud mouths in particular. There's a group. If you're connected with the Gothard crowd at all, Bill Gothard teaches strongly, and some of the really fairly radical homeschool, free agent for God crowd, they teach a hard, cold line on living debt-free. You're going to build a house? Got to build it debt free. Got to be able to pay for all the stuff out of pocket to build it. Okay, nice if you can do it, right? Let me see here. 2 Kings 4. Nice if you can do it, and a really good idea if you can do it. 2 Kings chapter 4, and notice verse 1. Now this is coming from the man of God. There cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband's dead. Creditors coming to get my stuff. Verse 2, Elisha said to her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? She said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Verse 3, then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors. Well, wait a minute. A borrower is the servant to the lender. Right? Be not servants of men. Elijah tells this woman to go borrow. Now, I'm not trying to get you in debt. I'm not. I'm not trying to go tell you to buy more than you can pay for, run up the credit card debt. Don't do that. Okay? There's a plain balance issue here, but I'm just protecting against an extremity on the other side. Notice 2 Kings 4. 2 Kings 6. I've got the Lord telling folks to borrow and what to do if they borrow and lose it or die or whatever. I have Elisha telling somebody to borrow. 2 Kings 6, 5. And as one was felling a beam, this is Elisha as well, the axe head fell into the water and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. So, this guy is concerned because it's borrowed. After all, he's responsible for this axe head and is going to have to find a way to get the axe head or get another axe head for the owner of it because it's borrowed. You have a responsibility to the borrower, right? Just, I'm not going to beat you to death with this, but just a couple more here. Matthew 5. Matthew 5. And go down to verse 41. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Somebody wants to borrow something from you that you have the capacity to give, don't turn him away. Well, aren't you helping to subjugate somebody? If this whole take on the borrower is servant to the lender thing is right, and if added to that, owe no man anything, and be ye not servants of men. See, folks, the fact of the matter is, Proverbs 22, verse 6, no, 7, all it's saying there is that the borrower, it's a statement of how things are. The borrower is servant to the lender. If I borrow Seth's new Tahoe, comparatively new Tahoe, and drive it for long, I'm going to be a little nervous because if I lose it, I have to replace it for him. Because the borrower is servant to the lender, right? If I loan you my hammer and you go bust the hammer, until you return the hammer to me, you have a responsibility to me. Folks, it's a statement of how things are. It's not a damnation of somebody that's borrowed something. The borrower is servant to the lender. I have a loan on my house I'm paying off. We have a loan on this church that we're paying off. And until it's paid off, we are servants to the lenders in the respect that we owe them. Now, what this other group was pushing was you can't buy a home unless you can pay for it out of pocket. Rent instead. Yeah, think about that. You're going to buy a home, you're going to probably finance it for what, 30 years? Or 15 years or whatever. So you're going to sign a contract and say, I'm responsible for these payments for 15 years or 20 years at so-and-so percent interest, right? So you go and instead, since that's such a sin, you're going to go rent property. They're going to make you sign a what? A rental contract that's going to be good for at least 6 months probably, and probably a year. So you are just as responsible for having signed on for a year for a rental contract as you would be in many regards for a mortgage. What happens if you can't pay your rent? They come and boot you out and take the apartment back. What happens if you can't pay for your house? It's kind of a long, drawn-out process these days, and lots of folks are doing it, but they come and take your house back, right, and resell it. That's the point. Again, I'm not standing here telling you that you should run up great debt. I think that's wrong, and I think it's a really bad way to get in trouble when you're young and stay in trouble for a long time. I've seen a lot of folks do that, okay? I'm just saying to go back the other way and say, biblically, and that's what they say, biblically, it's a sin to live in debt at all. To have a credit card is anathema. You are a tool of the Antichrist. It's not true. You can get in big trouble there because a credit card can really mess you up because it's like free money and, boy, the interest does add up in a hurry, doesn't it? If you're going to make minimum payments for very long, you're going to get behind really fast. But the point is, for those who say that it's a sin, Gothard crowd, the high finance crowd that, you know, is busy going around to independent Baptist churches and teaching folks to live debt-free, which is a good idea if you can, they're teaching you that it's a sin scripturally, that it's a sin, first of all, to take interest, usury. I'll tell you what you find. You go study usury in the Word of God, you'll find that it's a sin for a Jew to extract usury from another Jew in Israel. The bank has every right to charge me usury on my mortgage. And maybe as brothers and sisters in Christ, maybe I should cut you a break if you want to borrow $15. Maybe I shouldn't charge you usury for it, okay? But the fact of the matter is the Lord does not lay restrictions down that two Christians cannot, in business, charge each other interest on money. That is not what the Bible teaches. That usury thing is a Jewish thing. And yes, you can get in big trouble fast and go down under for a long time. That's true. But biblically speaking, somebody that says it is a sin to mortgage a house is not right. It's a sin to buy a car on credit. They're not right. Now, maybe you shouldn't, but I'm just saying, to say it's sin as a principle is not right. So the rich ruleth over the poor, and it's true, right? I mean, Donald Trump rules in a way over the average middle-class person that none of us ever could, right? I mean, it's true, the rich ruleth over the poor. It's just the way things are. It's a statement of fact. It's not damnation. There are rich folks in the Bible, right? The rich ruleth over the poor. And the borrower is servant to the lender. It's a statement of fact. It's just saying, as long as you have something borrowed, you're actually in hock to the guy that you borrowed it from till you get it back to him in good condition. Right? That's all it's saying. Back to Proverbs 28, verse 8 now. He that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. It's promising destruction in the proverb to somebody that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance. Now, let me take a moment with this. It's been a while since we talked about it. A few years ago, it's still somewhat popular these days. There are quote-unquote Bible teachers, seminar leaders, financial gurus that go around and teach on this subject. And there is sometimes what comes out of their ministries is the idea and precept that usury is a sin, period. Okay, that if you have a credit card and use it, that if you have a mortgage, that if you have a car that you're making payments on, that this is ungodly and unjust. There was a huge movement here, probably not so much movement right now, but some, I don't know, 10 or 20 years ago, I remember it well, you know, kind of getting started in the ministry where, you know, there was a lot of stuff going around homeschool communities and, you know, Christian, certain Christian groups and segments that believed and taught, because these guys teach it, that if you accept usury, that is, if you buy a house on a loan and then pay usury interest for however many years, that you are placing yourself under the curse of God. Now, don't misunderstand here. Anybody here knows, probably have experienced, many of you, that you can flat sure dig yourself a hole on interest, right? I have to say, and this is not a denouncement, because I do have a mortgage on my house. I have mortgaged a trailer. I've mortgaged this house over here. I'm now in a mortgage in the house I'm in. We have a mortgage on this building, okay? So I'm not ranting and raving, being crazy. But I have to say, several years back, Marcia and I kind of made a commitment not to buy new cars and make payments on cars unless absolutely necessary. And I can't tell you, I mean, I'm sitting here thinking right now, if I bought a car and had to pay insurance on it and it's, oh, say $400 round figures, I don't know how we'd make it at the end of the month. Okay? My point is, it's real easy these days. Now, there was a time there that I was receiving, I'm still receiving them some. There for a while, I was receiving in the mail every single day credit card offers. I had two or three credit cards, and they were offering me more. I could have had 30 credit cards, apparently. And some folks live that way, and when you live that way, you wind up in a mess because you dig yourself a hole that it's very difficult to pay out of. I mean, if you have a $10,000 credit card bill and you're paying minimum payments, guess what? You ain't making no progress at all. And obviously the housing crunch that we're in now, Seth could give you a little more history of it, but folks got in too expensive houses, too big houses for their income, and now everybody is upside down in their houses. Okay? Now, again, I know that there are all kinds of stories, and that's fine. I'm not denigrating anybody. I know that you can get yourself into huge problems with usury. If you can live debt-free, if you can live interest-free, that is a wonderful thing. Believe me. All right? What I do want to show you is that these guys that come to some verses like this one that seems to condemn usury and interest, go to Ezekiel and read verses there that condemn usury and interest. Let me just show you something here real quick. I don't think you should be foolish about this at all. I'm not here to beat a drum to say, go get 5 or 6 credit cards and max them out. Don't do that. But you do need to understand the issue from the Word of God. Look in Exodus 22 real quick. Exodus 22. And there are some passages that openly condemn usury, but it's within the context of a certain understanding. And basically, the understanding of the law. Look in Exodus 22 and go down to verse 25. Exodus 22, 25. If thou, and this is an Israelite, this is the law written to Israelites, if thou lend money to any of my people, other Israelites, correct? Somebody say yes. Correct? That is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as an usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. A Jew was not supposed to charge another Jew usury. Look in Deuteronomy 23 just to confirm this. Deuteronomy 23. And again, this is all with the backdrop that if all that you're doing is digging your hole deeper with a credit card or by mortgage because you can get money that way, if you're going to a fence, that sort of thing, and taking usury, you're digging yourself a hole you're going to have a hard time getting out of. I understand that's true, okay? But at the same time, the other extreme is not right either. The other extreme, the Gothard extreme, some of the wild-eyed, super independent homeschoolers extreme, where any kind of usury, any kind of credit card, any kind of car payment, any kind of house payment, if you don't have the money to build your house cold, don't build one. Well, that sounds real good until winter comes in Minnesota, and then you got a problem. Deuteronomy 23. So don't be stupid about this. I'm not showing you this so you can go dig the hole. 23:19. Deuteronomy 23:19. This makes it clear. Those passages that condemn usury are built upon the foundation of these passages. And the Lord is dealing with His people about these things, and they knew these things. Verse 19, thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brother. Now this is Israelite brother. You have to make a leap to say this would be a Christian brother now. There's probably some things you should think about before you start going with usury with your Christian brother as well, because sometimes, folks, sometimes loaning money is just not a good idea anyway. But this is strictly this context. Jewish brother, usury of money, usury of victuals, or victuals. So he's saying here, a poor brother borrows some beans and rice, and the guy demands he gives him more beans and rice back than he borrowed. That's usury. And that's hard, and he's condemning that. Usury of anything that is lent upon usury. Unto a stranger thou mayest lend upon usury. Unto a stranger. So, somebody that's outlandish, if Mordecai had decided to loan money to Hodad the Philistine, that would have been fine on usury. To a stranger, fine, but not to your people. Unto a stranger thou mayest lend upon usury, but unto thy brother thou shalt not lend upon usury, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all that thou settest thine hand to in the land whither thou goest to possess it. These guys make the same mistake of so many. They do not see dispensations. They think that all of the precepts that apply to the Jews under law apply to Christians under grace. And there's a lot of times parallels, but sometimes it doesn't work that way. Right? If you question this, I'll just remind you about Matthew 25 real quick. That should suffice. Matthew 25, 27. And these guys preach this as if it God acknowledges and states it to be a sin for a Christian to take usury from even another Christian or somebody else. That usury is just wrong. Usury has what has sunk this country, not sin, but usury. Okay? There are financial gurus, they call themselves gurus anyway, they believe that usury has utterly sunk the country. Now, I understand we owe more money as Americans than we can pay back now, right? I understand that's true. So in that regard, it may be true. But to make usury itself and not the extreme of it a sin is not accurate. For instance, Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. There was a group that kind of came through here. There was a couple of families that came through for a time. This was many years ago now. And we had just bought the old end of the building, so this part wasn't here. So we had just purchased on a note from Mr. Malosh, an independent party, the JW end of the building. And it took about 3 or 4 weeks, but they determined that they could not come to church here because we had a mortgage. So they opted to go to another church that didn't believe or teach the Bible like we do because they didn't have a mortgage. So their basis for movement was that that church may not have been a Bible-believing church by our standards, but they didn't have a mortgage, so we should go there. Didn't operate on usury. Matthew 25, and notice verse 27. We read, I think, this the other night. This is the parable of the unprofitable servant, the one that accuses the Lord of being an austere, hard man, in verse 24. His Lord answered in verse 26 and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Now, the servant would be you, right? And the Lord would be who? The Lord, right? It's real deep stuff, I'm telling you. I don't know if you're going to get it without the Greek. I'm just telling you this. Verse 26, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money, God's money, the Lord's money, to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. I've never heard it answered. For the gurus that say all usury must be wrong, it is condemned by God in Exodus and in Ezekiel and in Isaiah. They can never answer how the Lord would require His servant to have put forth His money at least with usury. Okay? So, I mean, we could go for a long time on this because those guys teach some principles that are not right. Don't get me wrong. Don't go in debt if you don't have to. I mean, seriously. Marcy and I lived in a trailer. In fact, we lived in two trailers before we ever lived in a house. In fact, in Pensacola, we live in trailers. Those were rented trailers, okay? So we didn't start out with buying a home and all that kind of thing right off. To start at the bottom is not a bad thing. to what they made it easy to do 10, 15, 20 years ago was for first-time home buyers, very young people with virtually no income, to buy way over their heads, and then everything collapsed. And I mean, you don't have to be super educated to figure out what happened here. Now people cannot make the payments. They're in over their heads on the mortgages, and that's what's caused this housing bubble doomiflotchy thing that's happened. That's very highbrow financial economic verbiage. I'm sorry, but it's just, that's the way it is. Well, you know, I'm not advocating that. I am saying, for the other rubber band extremity, be careful with your credit cards. Be careful about buying two or three cars that you're paying on that you have to fully insure, you know, for the rest of your life until you're a great-great-great-great-grandfather. Be careful with that stuff. Like I said, what I would do with a $500 car payment and insurance, I don't even know where the money would come from. Okay? So we don't do that. We just buy throwaways. It's best not to spend money you don't have. We have, I'll tell you at times, with dental emergencies, put it on a credit card and then had to gradually pay it off. We have with medical emergencies at times had to do the same thing. Okay, it's nice to have a credit card when your transmission falls out from under your vehicle and you don't have any money. And you put it on the credit card and pay it off or whatever works. Okay, but to abuse credit cards or credit like so many have done, I mean, by the time some people are 20 years old, they are $30,000 in credit card debt. May I just say that if you're a young lady, $30,000 in credit card debt, that makes you much less attractive to a young man. And, by the way, vice versa. Or it should, if she's got any sense. My point, I'm not getting off on it, but my point is, there's a rubber band extremity in this. You can use it and not be wrong with God, but you can sure dig yourself a hole. Which adults in here know you can dig yourself a hole? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, 28. Wasn't that enjoyable? Verse 8.